California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Fact. And this radio program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is also a TV program. I should make that clear. Simulcast on CBS Sports Network. Coming up next hour, back-to-back NBA interviews, LA Lakers point guard Quinn Cook, Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of the NBA, we are joined right now by a friend of the program. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is the recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, Cal State Fullerton, and Big West Conference legend. He is Mark Stein. Hey, Mark, what's up? How are you?
I just heard your rejoin music. Makes me feel young again. Love that.
I appreciate that. Me too, Mark. That's why it's there. Listen, as you pointed out,
for a minute, I feel young again.
Yeah, right? I feel you. So you pointed out on Twitter and in your newsletter both, there's a lot of momentum for the NBA to return at some point in the coming months. So how would you describe the situation right now?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they're going to come back. Everybody is basically operating now that that's going to happen in Orlando in terms of games. Late July is the league's stated target. Could it get pushed back even a little more? I think there is some fear of that, but still the format, how it's going to look, how many teams, that we don't know, and that's what they're trying to hash out now. Is it 16, 30, 20, 24, getting to that number, and also exactly what the playoff structure will look like? That's the focus now, and then from there the focus will ultimately shift back to the biggest issue, which is all the safety protocols that have to be followed to make this thing work, which really, I mean, you know, we're spending so much energy now looking at formats, but to me, I'm much more curious about the safety protocols and how you make this, how you make the players, coaches, staffers feel safe and comfortable. That, to me, is still issue number one.
Mark Stein joining us. Mark, finish that thought. For instance, you raised the issue in your newsletter that you have a level of uneasiness about a return. Lay it out for me. How would you describe that uneasiness?
I just think, look, we're seeing, you know, soccer is making, to this point, what looks like a successful comeback. In Germany, in England, they're going to be coming back. In America, Major League Soccer is coming back. But that sport is outside. It's a contact sport, but it's in a big, expansive outdoor stadium, and that's just different. I mean, the reality is basketball is a full contact sport indoors, and these guys are in much closer proximity than even in soccer. And so, you know, I just think it's going to be even more difficult for, you know, basketball might have it the toughest of all the team sports to try to get this thing back online because of that. And so I just, you know, I'm speaking purely for me, and nobody's asking my opinion except you, but I, the closer we get, you know, I'm nervous and I'm a worrier by nature. And I hope I'm just being, you know, my usual over worrying self, but you know, I keep saying the league's get like, they're committed to going back, and I think you've heard Michelle Roberts from the Players Union say the players want to go back. But until teams are back in the, when teams get to this new campus environment that we've never seen, only then are we going to really learn what they think and how they feel about playing in these conditions and what happens when Team X loses two or three guys that have to go into quarantine because they've got the virus. And then how do the rest of the guys feel when that happens? And are they ready to come back to work the next day and keep playing? And I'm not saying I know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm as curious as anyone to find out what that answer is.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so that's a really interesting answer. I was going to say, Mark, like, for instance, when Rudy Gobert tested positive, of course, the league immediately shut down. Do we know what would happen if a player or a players tested positive during the playoffs?
Well, the league's the league has described it as their plan and their hope. And we do not yet know the exact safety protocols. And again, it's going to be a long, long list. And at some point, they will have to put on paper and spell out exactly what happened. But all the indications to this point have been that, like in Germany, in the Bundesliga, their approach is if a player, coach, staffer test positive, you quarantine that person and the rest of the group carries on. And, you know, you said it. You're having Quinn Cook on later today and Lloyd Pierce on later today. And again, you know, they're the ones who have to be in that gym. We're not going to be in there. And, you know, God forbid someone on the Lakers gets it, someone on the Hawks gets it, and the next day when that group reconvenes, how does that group really feel about, you know, one or two people have left, but we're just going to keep going while they quarantine for 2 weeks? Maybe it will work. I mean, maybe it will, and I hope it does. I want it to work, and I want basketball to come back as much as anyone, but I just think it's very hard to predict how this is going to go. Now, again, in Germany so far, from containing the virus aspect, they appear to be doing a really good job with all the protocols they've instituted, and they're now on their third week of games. The big problem in Germany has been injuries. There's been just a zillion soft tissue injuries because these guys have been off so long, and that's another thing that NBA teams are going to have to face, because by the time these guys come back, they will have been off more than 3 months. It's an unprecedented break. No professional basketball player takes 3 months off in 2020. So there's a lot to contend with. A lot. Teams are going to have a lot on their plates to get through this.
Mark Stein joining up. So, Mark, part of the discussion right now is how many teams would be invited to Orlando. You've made the point that 30 may be too many. Sam Amick followed that up by tweeting that he's already heard grumbling from agents about the disparity in hotel quality. At the same time, 70 regular season games for teams because of TV rights might make some sense. So for those who don't know, why is that number so critical?
Well, look, the league does want to play as many, you know, they do want to play some regular season games if they can manage it, because for most teams, if you don't deliver 70 games to your regional partners, you owe them a refund, or you will, you know, get penalized in future payments. You know, basically money will be owed back to the regional partners in some form or fashion. Now, a team like the Lakers doesn't fall into that category because they have so many games on national television, they couldn't deliver 70 to their regional partners. So it's not an across-the-board situation for all 30 teams, but that's a big motivation for the league. And then you bring in the basketball side of it. Teams don't want to jump right into the playoffs without a few games to get used to being, you know, get back to what it feels like to play real NBA 48-minute games. They don't just want to jump to the postseason. So, I think if the league would love to bring all 30 teams back, if it could. I think the fear is, for safety issues, when you're trying to construct this campus environment that theoretically keeps the virus out, it's just math. You know, the fewer teams you have, the better chance you give yourself of keeping everyone safe. So that's really been the case against 30 teams. But, you know, look, whatever number you come up, you know, any number that's not 30, there are issues with. If it's 16, then you don't have enough teams to play enough extra games. You go straight to the playoffs. Some teams don't like that. 20 teams will make some mad. 24 will make some teams mad. There's no way to satisfy everyone, and that's why you're hearing about so many different proposals. Everyone's looking for the magic formula that really just doesn't exist.
We are talking to Mark Stein. Now, Mark, there's really no way to predict, but you got to wonder what playoff games, for instance, would be like without fans. Like, for instance, there is a lot of cursing that goes on during games that's covered up by crowd noise. Without fans, we're going to be able to hear what players say to each other, what they say to refs, what coaches and assistant coaches say to refs, what the refs say back to them. What's your sense as to how the league might handle that?
It's a down-the-road issue for now, but I I'm with you. It's a big one, and it's a big question. And look, I think all of us want the unedited audio. We all want to hear that, and you can understand why the league presumably would not want us to hear that. And, you know, certainly I think the players are going to have some say there as well, because, you know, unlike baseball, I think the NBA, you know, at least takes on board what it's, how its players think and feel a lot more than they're doing in MLB. So that is going to be fascinating. I don't know yet how that one works out, but there will certainly be a huge clamor for the public, for us to hear it all. And you can imagine no players, coaches, or referees want us to hear any of it. So they're gonna have to figure that one out, because when, you know, in the soccer games, you know, a lot of these, you know, like in Germany, it's so multinational. There are a bunch of languages flying around, and also the stadium is so much bigger. It's hard to exactly pick up what these guys are saying. As you noted, in a basketball game, if the mics are there, we are going to hear it loud and clear. And you know how fast those clips are going to move across social media if we can hear them.
And no doubt. Mark Stein joining us. Listen, before you go, Mark, Jerry Sloan passed away last week. He was legendary for a number of things, including eating his pregame meal in the media room, which is amazing. What was that like, and what kind of memories do you have of him?
Yeah, he just was, he was so unique in that way. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and in my 27 years, I don't ever remember any other coach who was just that comfortable, you know, dining with the nosy media before a game. I mean, he was just consistent. That's just the word that instantly pops into my head. You know, I remember him with the Bulls, but I can't really say that I saw him as a player. He was basically stopping with the Bulls just as I was really getting into the NBA. But just as a coach, he really is the most consistent man I've ever seen in this league, and as synonymous with the Jazz and consistency as Malone and Stockton were. And a story that I always tell, and I think it's important to note, you know, before the Spurs became the Spurs and before Greg Popovich became Pop, who we know by one name, Jerry Sloan was his role model, and the Utah Jazz, they were the blueprint for the Spurs. That's the team that they studied, envied, emulated, and modeled themselves after. So that's really all you need to know, because the Spurs became the Spurs really became the NBA's model franchise, and the Jerry Sloan Jazz were the inspiration.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I got such a kick out of Jerry Sloan. He was, as a player and a coach, so tough and so hard-nosed, but he was so fair. One more thought. I know you spoke to Mark Eaton about him. What did Eaton say?
Yeah, I had to call Eaton because just for my own personal kind of tie, Mark Eaton's the first NBA player that I ever got to interview in 1989. So because of that, it's always kind of a thing that sticks with me. And just, you know, I remember how terrified I was at 5'9" on a good day, trying to reach my tape recorder up to 7'4" Mark Eaton and get a quote from him when I didn't even really know what I should be asking him. But as you would imagine, I mean, he just has nothing but praise for the way Jerry was, and his quote, which I think was perfect, you know, toughness and fairness all rolled into one, that Jerry was the kind of guy who would really ride his players hard, but also back them a ton. And, you know, in the NBA, it's all about buy-in, and Malone and Stockton bought in to Jerry Sloan as much as you can. And when your superstars buy in, that's when you win.
That is so critical. I can remember a coach telling me once that it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, if you do not get a buy-in from your star player, you have no chance in that league. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, and as I mentioned, a recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. He is Mark Stein. It's great to have you back. Mark, thanks so much, and I know we will do it again soon.
We will. Be good, Matt.
My man. Stay safe. Mark Stein, warrior. Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend. We Big West types always stick together. Still ahead, Quinn Cook, LA Lakers point guard. Lloyd Pierce, Atlanta Hawks head coach. Phone lines are open right now. When we come back, I want to talk more about the match. Yes, it was better than the inaugural one. No, it was not nearly as good as so many of you are making it out to be. And for some reason, Hefty is trying to take control of it. Like, acting like it's his vision. He knows what's best. He has ideas. And he's already locked himself in for the franchise. That's all coming up. And more of your phone calls. And yeah, I'm not done with the Browns yet. Not only am I still riding with them, I want to know why Jadeveon Clowney seems to want no part of them. That makes no sense to me. I want to hit that too. All that is straight ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Matha is in on Twitter, quote, "I haven't been more pumped for the smack off after that Alvin DeLauro promo. Already got the day off." You know what? I didn't mention that because we've been in the pandemic. So I think most of us have had days off, right? Pretty much everybody has had lots of days off. Normally in the run up to the smack off, I make sure that you get that day off. Because it's not the same thing. If you normally listen to this show in transit, during a workout, while you're commuting, maybe even at your desk at work, that's one thing. But for the smack off, you want the day off. You want to set that thing up the right way. Normally, I ask the question, what are you doing during the smack off? You know, I'm not asking you this year because although establishments are reopening, it really wasn't responsible or even accurate to say, well, is there a watch party somewhere? No, because nothing's open. Things are opening up right now. So obviously, we're not having that line of conversation. But you want to make sure that you're free and clear. I don't need to tell you to get that day off for the most part, but make sure you're free and clear. I can't ask the question, what are you doing on June 19th? Where are you going to watch? Where are you going to listen? How are you going to handle it? It's a very different time. It's a very unusual time. What are you doing with the smack off this year? Ed Big Matha says, I've got the day off. Wells in the 360. I know what that guy's going to do. Jam copious amounts of food in his face. Just kidding, Wells. I did it for you, clones. Glad the smack-off promo counted down and went off without a hitch. Signed, the Space X launch. War Alvey's promo. Like I said, Alvey filed that remotely. He's not in today. All right, so let me set this up. In order to understand where this guy is going with this call, you need to know this particular song. It's on topic, in market, coming off The Last Dance. Everybody was talking about Michael Jordan for weeks because of The Last Dance. What do you think of when you think of Michael Jordan? A million different things. If you think about it long enough and you think about it hard enough, ultimately you may get to this if you know this show. If you think that I'm padding to give time to the big head, you'd be right. All right, so there was a famous song called Michael's Dad, written by an infamous songwriter by the name of Neems. Neems, way, way, way back in the day, sent me this song. And he sent it to me on a CD. I opened it up. I listened to it, I played it on the air, and said it might have been the worst song I'd ever heard. Neems did not take kindly to that. Neems wanted to make sure that I knew that that song had been heard in like 30 different countries. The song sounded like this. That's Neems.
We've all been watching number 23 perform like no athlete.
So I don't want to be disrespectful and step all over this guy's life's work, but imagine me just being at work one day at my desk. And understand, the world was very different then. This is back, I don't even know when this was, 90s. And I get this, and I'm like, holy crap, this is terrible.
How proud he must have been to be Michael's dad.
I mean, just singing his guts out, how proud he must have been to be Michael's dad.
Hear the crowd cheer.
each time it heard the crowd cheer.
How great it must have felt to be my
anyway, record scratch, that's that. That was Neems. And for years and years and years, Neems was furious with me, and like a lot of beefs, it just kind of reconciled itself. He did a song about me, we came together, it's fine, it's good. So with that in mind, and you have that background, let's now go to another guy known for butchering and murdering music, Parody Larry. Hello, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Ron, what's cracking? How are you? Hey, listen, the Smack-Off's coming, and I hope Deech and the Fort Greene Bar will be open when this damn quarantine is over. And Silk, by the way, stop videoing yourself in a hot tub. Those man boobs? Silk, you need a bra, brah. Anyway, now that I've digested all 10 episodes of The Last Dance, a few things come to mind, Rome. MJ is the GOAT, but he also showed us what an insane egomaniac he was. And when he came out with his Air Jordan kicks, he single-handedly made sneakers.
That's not a good call. No.
Damn it, Larry.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Larry. Larry, I am pissed. I'm not even going to pretend that I'm not. Larry, how many times have we covered this? How many times? Every bleeping time. Your Parody Larry. You're not Horrible Take Larry. You're not Bad Take Larry. You're Parody Larry. It's taking everything I have not to curse. Get to the bleeping parody, Larry. Did you not just hear me set your entire call up by going through the whole Neems thing, Larry? I did that for you, bleeping Larry. Your handle, your gloss, the thing you're known for, is parodies. Parody bleeping Larry. Not Bad Take Larry. I'm not going to say it again, Larry. Do not come on this show and start running out horrible takes. Get to the bleeping song. This is who you are. This is what you're known for. Nobody's listening to your takes, Larry. God. What the hell is the matter with you, Larry? How many times have we covered this? At least a dozen. You're bringing me down, man. Especially after I spent 3 minutes on Neems to set up a song that you would have been run for anyway, Larry. If it seems like I'm pissed, it's because I am. Larry, what the hell is the matter with you? Man. I mean, I know it's happened before. If you're thinking to yourself, Rome, what are you getting so worked up about? It's not like he hasn't done that before. I know. But that's like the straw that broke the camel's back, Larry. Don't do that ever again, brah. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. If you want to come in here and say, hey, Rome, what's cracking? How you doing? That's fine. But man, get to your freaking parody. No more bad takes, man. I know what you're thinking, Larry, like, oh, man, but this is awesome, but this is gold. I'm going to say that Silk Bra needs a bra. I'm going to go, hey, man, Silk Bra, you got an amazing rack. Put a bra on it. Nobody's laughing, Larry. You know why? Because it's not funny. Get to your parody. Are you for real, Hawk? You really want to risk that? All right, I need somebody to pick me up. I need somebody to pick me up after that because I'm not feeling so high right now. Oh, I know. I'll go to Fabian. Fabian in Los Angeles. Hey, Fabian, what's up?
You know, like me, they let me go on because they have no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to say. So, you know, if your thing is singing, although, I mean, you know, whatever it is, good or bad, whatever. Hey, if they tell you to sing, sing, dude. Hey, Romy, so this is the deal, bro. You know, I asked you for help for multiple things, you know. On this one, I got this little crazy thing. Might have been a dream I had or something, right? So, you know, right now I need you to, like, I don't know, when you hang up on me or whatever, kick out my my Twitter feed. Fabianowski 420, you know, And then, you know, I try to push. If I could touch, because I've been like hovering around 2,000, but if I could get to 3,000, that is going to inspire me to, within this last couple of weeks, go and write, I don't know, a book or something, for I could come and just read it to you and see if I could get me a little golden ticket. Now, that would be awesome because of the pandemic thing.
That's not a good call. No.
Fabian.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Listen, Fabian, I never have any idea what the hell you're going to say when you call this show. You yourself just admitted to me you pretty much never have any idea what the hell you're going to say when you call this show. And you're the only one I allow that for. Everybody else, I say, have a take, don't suck. And when the EP Adam Hawk says to you, what do you want to talk about? Make damn sure you know exactly what you want to talk about. Because just saying, hey, Hawk, put me through, I'm going to wing it when I get on the air, we'll never let you or we'll never get you on the air. Except for you, Fabian, because you're a different dude. And we know this about you. So I'm all right with it. The thing is, today you were not honest. It wasn't a matter of you not knowing what the hell you were going to say. You knew exactly what you were going to say. You called to pimp your Twitter feed. You called to try to get followers. You just said it. You're at 2 grand. You need to find a way to get to 3 grand. Because if you get to 3 grand, you think that somebody might give you a book deal. And then you could write that book and then come in here and read me the book. Okay? Neep! Fabian, that's what happened, right? I heard that correctly. Because then I heard you also pimp the actual handle. Like Fabianowski 420. Is that what that was? Neep! Hey, bro, that's fine. You know what, clones? If you want, go ahead and follow Fabian. Personally, I do not. And it's not a conscious decision. It's not like, hey, man, I'm not following him. Because he calls me. I don't need to follow him. I can just take those tweets on the air. Anyway, man, you know what that was? There's a radio term for that. Horrible segment. That's what that was. The good news is I have 9 segments every single day. So I'm going to forget that that one happened, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to try it again. Except, Larry, don't you forget what I said to you. If you want to call this show ever again, you get to your freaking parody. We're not having this conversation again. Ever. Ever. The only reason you were even allowed to do your 6 bad takes in a row is because James Kelly's on the board, and he didn't know what to do with it. The gigantic head of his couldn't compute what was going on. Even he was waiting for your song. When we come back. Who the hell knows, right? I know what I want to do. I just have no idea what you're going to do. I will talk about the match and the way Hefty is trying to take control of it. Quinn Cook at the top. Lloyd Pierce after that. But right now, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Nice of Frank Vogel to check in with his smack-off video. No, actually, that was Chris in Vancouver. Nice job, Chris. Well done. He was repping the Lakers hard. Speaking of the Lakers, Lakers point guard Quinn Cook coming up at the top of the hour. All right, so coming off that last segment, that long break was good for me. I got to kind of chill out a little bit. You know, I've talked recently about my father a couple times, Jay. Jay Rome. So my dad passed away in the early 90s. I was in my late 20s. He passed away at the age of 59. And I think now that I've got a couple of kids, I've got a couple of sons, and I think back to my dad, and I used to think, man, I just do not see eye to eye with him. We are not on the same page. And now I understand him much better than I did then, naturally. The one thing that I respected and even to a certain extent admired about my father was he could run pretty hot now, right? Like he was like a really really, really even-tempered, even-keeled person for the most part. But if I got on the wrong side of him, he could go from 0 to 60 in 1 second. And bam. I mean verbally, not physically, but he was pretty intense. Pretty intense, and he could get there fast. But once he said it, it was done. And he could get right back to where he was right after that. I always admired that about him. Like, he didn't harbor any grudge. He didn't carry it. It didn't go on for an hour or 8 hours or a day or 2 days. He said what he had to say intensely, and then he was just done, and it was good. And we could get back to what we had to do. And I kind of think like I picked that up from him. Like, during that long break, I'm back. I'm fine. I'm good. Yes, I was really upset with Larry, but I'm fine. I said what I had to say. I made my point. I think that Larry got that point. And I'm not going to be in a bad mood or harbor this grudge or carry it forward. I have a job to do. And by the way, I'm happy. I'm fine. I'm good. In fact, so much so, I think that he got the message. And I'm going to let him come back on right now and do what he set out to do. Because I don't harbor a grudge. I made my point. So let's do it again, and let's do it right. And I'm happy to do so. Let's go to the phones. We go to Parody Larry. Good to have you on the show. Larry, how are you?
I appreciate this, Rome. This is for Neems, Iafredi, and Father.
Ah! Yeah, I'm not anything like my old man, and I'm not fine.
You don't like that car.
I'm not
like
kidding you, Larry. I am still not pissed. Yeah, long break my ass. Long break. If that break were my two-week break that I have coming up, maybe then. It's still not all right, Larry. Let me tell you something, Larry. Larry, you are in jungle quarantine. You are in a jungle lockdown. Larry, let's talk social distancing, except let's talk about it as jungle distancing. You keep that mask on, and you don't get within 1,000 miles of this show. All right? 6 feet. 6 feet, my ass. How about 6 weeks? How about 6 months? Let me tell you something, my man. You are your own jungle virus right now. You are your own jungle pandemic. I am really unhappy, Larry. Do not call this show and start running your gap with bad takes. Do your parody. I'm nothing like my old man. I have not forgotten. Yeah, 5 minutes was going to make that right. The hell it was. You keep that mask on and you stay in your jungle quarantine, all right? And don't risk infecting any of us with your bad takes. Come on, man. Incredible. I apologize for that last segment. Let's see what the reaction is. Sean Rohasek's in. Horrible segment. That was an epic segment. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Stucknut wants back in. He's part of the problem, by the way, Stucknut. Lawrence not getting to his parody is like Leffen Laguna not getting to the gimmick. That's not true. Part of my argument in defense of Leff is he's not, quote, just a gimmicky little bitch. He's got gears. He's got a rap. He can talk smack. He can do other things. He's not just that. Hitman Canadian tweets, you're not parody Larry, or you're parody Larry, not parable Larry. Mike and LFK tweets, Rome is going to ground the clones, take away their PlayStations, and send them to bed with no dinner. Get them, Van Smack. War Rome putting Larry over his knee and spanking him. You know what I am? I'm like any parent that doesn't want to have to tell the kid the same thing 10 times. That's my problem with Parody Larry. And Parody Larry probably is twice my age, so he's not a kid. Fabian wants to explain himself. Jim, you are the best. Oops, LMAO, you had me. Fabian tweeted that. At Apple Pasta tweets, Jim, you actually faked me out there on Parody Larry. And him too, probably. Except I may be smiling, but I'm not laughing. I meant that. At CB34's Golf Swing, from worst segment to best segment in 1 second. All right, I got a radio show to do here. It's a sports talk show. I'm trying to get back on track. I really am. Larry, man, look what the hell you just did to me and my show. Give me back my show, right? I've got Quinn Cook coming up at the top of the hour. I've got Lloyd Pierce coming up right after that. Jamie in Green Bay is in. Has anybody been run twice in one show before? That second hammer was the funniest thing in the jungle in a long time. Yeah, I'm sure that's not the first time, and I'm sure that won't be the last time. But it's not easy to be run twice in one show. Dave the Rocket Guy tweets, "Wow, Rome. Every time Parody Larry gets run, it makes me laugh." Anybody else? The smack off is coming up. I'm trying to keep this thing clean. It's for the best of the best. All right, now this guy has a golden ticket. This guy's taking pretty seriously what I've said about those golden tickets. You have to earn it and re-earn it. Don't hide. Don't hoard it. Don't spin clock. Man, show up here and earn that thing. He's taking it to heart. Let's go to Toronto. Chris in Toronto. Chris, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Jim? Hey, yo, have you seen that social media meme where it says nobody, nobody, and it says absolutely nobody on earth, and then they post audio of something? Yeah, that was the Callen Vegas promo yesterday. Jim, has there ever been someone in the jungle that gets more runs for doing less? Cal, calling up and telling people you're going to fight them isn't a take. I get that everyone needs a stick, my man, but Rick and Buffalo already have this one taken. Also, you have another problem going for you, which is we've seen your picture, my dude, and nobody is buying this tough guy stick. So, Jim, please, for the love of God, just chopper this dude already. Now, Jim, I've heard a lot of the Canadian slander, including from your boy Hawk, who was taking a victory lap after we called last. And believe me, this is going to hurt me more than him because I actually like Hawk. But did a guy that, A, looks for friends on tennis Tinder, B, hurt his back putting on golf shoes, and C, got wasted in New York and woke up without a stash, call another person's history pathetic? And Big Head, you were there for that. Hawk, how does someone with a mustache like yours that makes you look like an undercover cop going undercover as an undercover cop call someone else pathetic? Okay, Hawk? So get off of us. But Jim, look, I get it. People don't like Canada, and it looks like some of my fellow Canadians don't either. So I've just had to go full Jason Kelsey, go buy my genie costume, and sing, no one likes us, no one likes us, no one likes us, we don't care. And see, that's the thing, see, because after my last call, people wanted to hear the chopper, and it didn't happen. And here's why, clones. It's because I follow the simple rules. Have a take, don't suck. I know that I did run a little long, but I had takes. So sorry, you know who tweeted a picture of a chopper going down. Jim, it's hilarious to me that I'm new here, and I'm already so deep in some of these dudes' heads, they're begging you to chopper me because they can't take me out themselves. They're nervous that the only thing going down are their stuck nut odds. And no, I ain't saying your name either. I'm already tired of making people famous from my calls. Now, look, I know you guys don't know me very well, so let me tell you a little something about myself. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid to call, and I am not hiding.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that
call. Hey, Chris, if you have a golden ticket and you get run while in the midst of holding on to that golden ticket, you know what that means, don't you? The chopper has arrived, and now it's gone. Bro, it's gone because today is May 28th. It is not June 19th. I understand that I said to you, don't hoard that ticket. Don't hide from it or us. But I guess I probably should have said also, don't treat every day like it's the freaking smack off because it's not. You went too long, man. Get in, get out. You have now lost that ticket twice. Or the second time you've gone long, I should say. You got lucky the first time. I let it go. I did warn you. And then you did it again. And now the ticket is gone. And now it's in my stack. And now you have to earn it back. I'm not giving these things away now. You can earn it. And then you have to find a way to keep it. And I snatched it because you ran long again. This is what I'm trying to say. If I have to tell it to you once, that's fine. We all make mistakes. But I don't have to keep telling the same people the same things
over and over again. If I want that, I can go home and deal with my kids. I don't need 8 million of you to do that, too. Man, this is some kind of an hour, isn't it? Some kind of an hour. We had Parody Larry. We had Fabian. And there's my man Chris in Toronto. And I'm not here to hate. In fact, I'm here to root for the Canadians to have Canadian representation. Like, that was a good thing that Chris was in. Chris, here's the thing, man. Don't go sideways on me. Don't trip. Get back in here, and not next segment either. Get back in here. Get your ticket back. Go to school on that. Think about what happened. Go into the dark room. Break some tape. Do the work. And then make sure you're ready the next time. Because I would like to see you there that day. The more Canadian representation, the better. But I'm not putting you there just to put you there. Now he's done. Until he gets it back. At Hitman Canadian is in. Rip that ticket. Jesse in El Paso is in. Choppa. 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 Mike D for three is in. More like Crisp in Toronto after the Choppa smoked him. One for R. Choppa. 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 Dan in Denver, LOL. Chris is effing terrible. No, he's not, or he wouldn't have gotten that ticket. But he lost it. To quote you clones, choppa, choppa, choppa. Quinn Cook is next.